Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America, and happy Sunday. Welcome to the Sunday Brunch edition of John Solomon Reports. We've got a great, great show for you today. We're going to kick off with Congressman Brian Stile of Wisconsin. He's the chairman of the House Administration Committee. He wants to punish in a much stronger way Congressman Jamal Bowman for pulling that fire alarm and disrupting or attempting to disrupt a congressional proceeding a couple weeks ago. Bowman just pled guilty, but the story Bowman told the American people was not true. He lied to us. And Chairman Stile has a suggestion about what should happen next. That's going to kick off our show today. Then we'll go down to the border with Chad Wolf, former Homeland Security Secretary. He's got some grave concerns, much like we heard on Friday from Kevin Brock of the FBI, grave concerns about the type of people suddenly crossing the border in large numbers. He's going to describe that. Then we'll go to Art Del Cueto. Art Del Cueto, the number two at the Border Patrol Agents Union. He's going to give us some further insights into what's going on at the border and why the people crossing are raising a red flag in the pattern and type of people coming across. Very much similar to what Kevin Brock warned us on Friday, but from a very different perspective, this time from the Border Patrol agent's perspective. Waleed Faris, one of the great national security experts in the country, he'll kick in the fourth block. He's got a lot to say. And then we'll finish up with Tristan Levitt, the founder of the Empower Oversight Whistleblower Center. He represents those IRS whistleblowers, some of the more famous FBI whistleblowers. He's got some juice to tell us, some important new information we're going to break on this Sunday brunch edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. So sit back. We'll do a quick commercial break. When we come back, Chairman Brian Stile of the House Administration Committee, he's got some pretty big explosive news he'll break right here, right after these messages. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't, you'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. He is Wisconsin Congressman Brian Stile, and he rejoins us. Congressman, great to have you on the show, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
We now have video footage. We now have a guilty plea. We now have a fine and an apology. But do you really feel like we have the real story about Jamal Bowman yet?
Well, it's pretty clear Jamal Bowman wasn't telling the truth when he issued his first excuse that he did this by accident. And the video proves that. He walks up to the door. He pushes the door, knocks down a few signs, turns to his left, pulls the fire alarm, never looks back at the door. He just continues on and walks out. He ultimately will pass multiple police officers without notifying them of what took place. It's the reason that I've called on the Ethics Committee to further investigate this. He received a municipal citation at the D.C. level, not a federal charge. But I think there's a lot of questions to be answered, in particular by the House Ethics Committee, in particular whether or not he was acting to delay a floor procedure. It sure looks like he was. Why was he doing that? What was his intent? Sure looks like he was trying to slow down the action on the floor at a moment in time when the Democrats were delaying a vote on the floor to try to allow the Democratic-led Senate to get their legislation done before the House. I think ultimately a further investigation is warranted.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have to ask about the penalty. I mean, $1,000 fine. I personally know people in high school who got stiffer penalties for doing the same crime when we were in high school and they weren't prepared for a test. But I have to wonder, you know, this almost seems like a microcosm of what we have been talking about. It seems like it's practically been the theme of this show, which is a dual tiered system of justice. Obviously, this is Congress. This is the legislative branch. But do you think if Democrats were in the majority and it was a Republican who pulled the fire alarm, if there would be the same treatment?
You know, it raises a whole host of questions, just as you said. I mean, one, Jamal Bowman was a principal at a school. At every school that I've ever attended, you have fire alarm drills. And so he knows exactly what happens when you pull a fire alarm. It was clearly not an accident or a technique to open up a door. The other is, it's the Washington, D.C. Attorney General that moved forward these charges. The federal prosecutors chose not to move forward with any charges. And I think it's pretty evident that Democrats are soft on crime. And so the Democrat decision not to charge Jamal Bowman with a more serious crime, I think, is indicative of what we're seeing play out across the country. Blue cities refusing to enforce the law in rising crime in those blue cities, Washington, D.C., Chicago, other cities across the country are suffering under Democratic policies.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So you were kind enough to host us out in Wisconsin for the Republican convention. We had a great interview, I think, at a restaurant in Waukesha. And when we were out there, everybody was talking about the economy. I know the numbers sounded good today when the monthly growth reports came out, but it seems like everyday Americans do not feel good at all. Is this a pocketbook election we're about to head into?
Well, when you talk to everybody across the country, as we did in Waukesha and Kenosha or Janesville, my hometown, what you see is immediately people aren't able to keep up with rising costs. And over the time of President Biden's term in office, costs have outpaced the people's wages. And as that's the case, it's harder and harder for families to afford the things that they need. The average and median home for someone to get into a new home has skyrocketed. Grocery prices remain high. The Biden administration's war on energy has made gas costs, home heating costs, continue to increase. And so I think people should hold the Biden administration accountable for their disastrous economic policies. And I think ultimately, as we look out 1 year from now, the American people will hold Biden accountable for failing to move this country forward economically.
Yeah.
Sir, I wanted to dig in on some of the numbers because I know one thing that you tweeted about was the price of a mortgage and that figure of $1,200 and how that's been doubled under President Biden. But we also had on Budget Committee member Josh Brakeen on the show, and he talked about how Americans, a family of four on average, is spending $1,200 more per month for the same goods and services prior to the Biden administration. Americans are getting absolutely pounded by this, and you've got this figure of GDP growth, but there's a new trend in the Biden administration of revising downward. Do you think that's going to happen again?
Well, the Democrats are going to have to try to reset people's expectations. They love to redefine words and move the goalposts along the way. But I think your stat is exactly spot on to the broader problem. Costs are going up and people are paying more for the exact same stuff that they were paying for simply 2.5 years ago. Wages haven't kept up with that. And so your average family of four or any American family is looking at their budget and trying to figure out what's going on. What's going on is actually shockingly straightforward. It's the inflationary environment that President Biden has put us under. It's the reckless spending in Washington. It's the war on energy that the Biden administration has conducted since the first day in office when President Biden killed the Keystone XL pipeline. Is there paying people not to work after the pandemic ended? And so we continue to see failed economic policies coming out of the Biden administration that are moving the American public further and further behind. And the frustration you see building up is a direct result of the fact that people are struggling to get by with President Biden in office.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We're day two of the Speaker Johnson era of the House, and I want to get your take on what you think the most important priorities will be for the Republican Congress. Speaker Johnson put out, I think, a lot of great ideas yesterday: border, economy, inflation, and accountability, and of course, shrinking the debt and the spending. What do you think will be the top successes that you'll be bragging about a few weeks from now as this train gets rolling?
Speaker Johnson's a principled conservative. He may not have been a household name to everyone across the country last week, but he's well known here to those of us who work with him day in and day out. I think his initial speech, as he took the speaker's gavel and set forward his agenda to move forward on our spending bills, to control spending, but also to highlight conservative policies, things like securing the U.S.-Mexico border. He also spoke about a broader debt commission to say we need to have a broader conversation, not just on discretionary spending, the 12.5% of money we spend a lot of time on, appropriate to spend time, but also on the 75% of the federal budget that's on autopilot every year. A willingness to have that adult conversation with the American public is essential. He's willing to do it. He's a strong, principled conservative. And I think we have a big opportunity here to get our spending under control, inflation down, secure the border, and then also, while we're doing that, examine our foreign policy, speak from a position of strength, and in particular, stand with our ally Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah. If y'all can accomplish all those things, I think that will be a victory lap. But I think about a quote that my dad told me once about boats. The first day that you buy your boat, or the best day of your life is the day you buy your boat. The second best day of your life is the day that you sell the boat. And I feel like the best day of his life is the day that he gets the speakership. Maybe the second best day of his life will be the day that he leaves the speakership, because it's a tough job. What are going to be some of the toughest decisions for him? We've only got about 45 seconds.
Yeah, he's got an incredibly tough job. The position of Speaker of the House is probably one of the most difficult political positions in the entire world. Pulling everyone together and unifying the conference is something that I think he can do, but that's also going to be the challenge. He is a thoughtful, principled conservative. That's what we need. And I think that will give him the opportunity to pull us together. If we're successful at staying together, then we can actually challenge the Biden administration and successfully address the spending, the border, and stand with our allies.
Folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, Chad Wolf, former Homeland Security Secretary, up next right after these messages. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back, America. In just under a month, there'll be an extraordinary event down in Mar-a-Lago. The America First Policy Institute is going to have a gala with Trump cabinet members. Some lucky Americans are going to get to spend a day hanging out with cabinet secretaries. How about that? That's pretty amazing. Well, we're going to spend a little bit of time hanging out with a former cabinet secretary right now. The former acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf is joining us right now. Chad, great to have you on the show again, sir.
Well, good to have me. Good to see you guys.
First, I want to talk about what's on everyone's mind here in Washington. Anyone you talk to in the security establishment the last week or two has been very concerned about Hamas-style attacks occurring on U.S. soil. Can you give us your thoughts about how real that threat is?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think anytime there's an overseas conflict like we have right now, you've got to secure the homeland and you need to make sure that any of your vulnerabilities, you go what we call shields up. And unfortunately for this administration over the last 30 months or so, the security along that southern border has been anything but great. And so we see continued individuals crossing that border that are from places of concern like Lebanon, like Iran. In other countries in that region. And so when you look at the conflict and you see that they want to kill Jewish individuals in the state of Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, they want to kill Americans here at home as well. And so we need to understand that threat, and we need to do everything we can to protect American communities. And unfortunately, along that southern border, because the overwhelming number of folks coming across that border, I think we are less secure today than we have been since 9/11.
Well, and Mr. Secretary, another concern I have, if that should happen, is, you know, Prime Minister Netanyahu has made it very, very clear that Israel is ready if they need to proceed to a much more aggressive degree. As far as what the United States is ready for, I mean, I hate to put the obvious on blast, but militarily, are we even ready? Because under the likes of folks like Mark Milley, we've seen the wokeification of our military. Recruitment is down at record low levels. And I am very concerned that if the U.S. gets drawn in on a more tactical level, that we're not prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I have great confidence in our fighting men and women. But like you, I've seen over the last 2.5 years or more what they've done to the U.S. military and degrading physical standards, going woke in their teachings there in the Pentagon and elsewhere. And that gives me great concern. But look, at the end of the day, when we need our men and women to step up and fight and win, then I hope that we're in a place to do that. We certainly were under the Trump administration. So look, I've got great confidence, although like you, Amanda, I do have some concerns on what I've seen over the last 2.5 years from this administration.
Sir, there's been a lot of talk in Washington about two types of entrants that have been encountered at the border. One of those on the terrorist watch list, 736 this year, all-time record, obliterates all the records known in American history. And then special interest aliens now starting to pour in larger numbers, places like China and Russia. Can you tell us a little bit why those numbers are so worrisome to experts who worry about the security border?
Sure, absolutely. There's two numbers that I look at, what we call known or suspected terrorists. So these are individuals that are actually on U.S. government watch lists. We know that they are actually active terrorists and have associations. And under the Biden administration, they're at about 269 that they have caught over the last 2.5 years. And you compare that with all 4 years of the Trump administration, that was about 16 for all 4 years. You look at special interest aliens, about 70,000 that they've apprehended over the last two and a half years. These are individuals that come from countries of concern, state sponsors of terrorism and the like. And they use travel patterns that are very suspicious to those of known terrorists that use travel patterns. So, for instance, if you're going from the Middle East, you fly into Brazil, you make your way to Colombia through the Darien Gap, through Central America, up through Mexico and to the border. And so the question is, why are you taking that route to the United States? Do you have help? Do you have assistance? And there's other reasons to be concerned about that. So we've seen about 70,000 of those individuals at least apprehended at the border. And again, that's not the known gotaways that we don't apprehend. And you have to wonder who makes up that flow of gotaways. And it's probably, again, special interest aliens, known or suspected terrorists, and other public safety threats.
Mm. Scary stuff.
Mr. Secretary, I want to ask you about this report out from House Homeland regarding the CBP One app, because since its inception, I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like it was ever intended to verify or vet. It is merely a concierge service. I don't know if in their heart of hearts, the Biden administration thinks that this is how it's supposed to work. Shouldn't we be scrapping the CBP One app and going back to traditional methods of admittance and vetting and all of the processes and steps that need to take place?
Well, I liked your description, Amanda. It's a concierge service that any illegal alien anywhere in the world basically signs up for the app, and you've got a 96% chance of being released into the American interior, into American communities. That is the approval rate. 96% are qualifying for parole under the CBP One app. That is an abuse of the parole authority. It's supposed to be on a case-by-case basis. It is anything but when you're enrolling and you're paroling over 200,000 individuals into the country. So it's clearly an abuse. It's clearly unlawful. I think that's why the committee put it out. We've talked about this at AFPI quite extensively. The number of laws that the Biden administration is breaking, reimagining, the immigration system, and it's not for the betterment of American people. You're exactly right. We actually need to be understanding who's coming in. They need to come in through legal means, legal pathways, not what the Biden administration would want you to believe. And we need to make sure that they're vetted. And we need to know where they're going at the end of the day.
We got another good one after this. Art Del Cueto, the number two official in the Border Patrol Agents Union. He's going to follow up on what Secretary Wolf just told you, give you a little bit more detail from the Border Patrol agents' perspective of the dangers that we're witnessing at the southern border of the United States right now. I'll have that right after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Newly minted House Speaker Mike Johnson has a lot of issues to start tackling, from working with his colleagues to hopefully avoid a government shutdown in the next 20 days, to working with Homeland Security officials to convince Democrats somehow to strengthen our U.S. border security. And according to U.S. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens, this calendar year, agents along the border have arrested more than 47 subjects per day with serious criminal histories. Art Del Cueto is an active member of our Border Patrol and serves as the vice president of the National Border Patrol Council. Art, it's a great pleasure to have you back, even if the reason is not great.
Right. Thank you for having me, though.
Art, there are a number of messages that the Biden administration started broadcasting to the Northern Triangle, anyone who was trying to come to the United States, even before he took office. One of those messages pertains to what happens to them as they are processed at the border and what happens after that with respect to the address that they have to give, any type of contact in the interior of the country. You were just giving us an incredible anecdote that I think tells of another message that Biden has broadcasted. Can you tell us about that?
No, definitely. And I witnessed it firsthand, and I can tell you it's very frustrating to see the faces of the individuals that are protecting our nation's borders. And, you know, just the actual morale is in the dumps. When you're seeing individuals that are coming into the United States for the first time, supposedly, and they already know what information is going to be asked, where they each are carrying in their pockets a piece of paper that gives the address of where they're going, the phone number of who to contact where they're going, and the relationship to them, because they already know that that is what's being asked of them in immigration. You fill it out in the form, they know they're going to get released. They know the message has been out for quite some time. When you catch a group and you see a group of 400 plus individuals, and every single one of them has that piece of paper, what is that? It's frustrating. I used to be angry. Now, honestly, I'm at a loss for words. My heart is broken that we have individuals in leadership position that absolutely do not care about American lives, do not care about the security of our country, and do not care about the future of this country. It is extremely heartbreaking to see that.
It really is, Art. And I know the men and women of the Border Patrol don't stop doing their job, even in spite of all the hardships that Washington has imposed. There seems to be a systemization now of this trafficking, that the migrants coming in know, drop your passport at the border if you don't want your identity to be known. Here's the contact. Here's the lawyer. Here's the people you contact to get help once you get in the country. Is there just a giant human trafficking operation that's being funded by NGOs and in some cases the government?
Well, look, when you start looking at how much money the cartels themselves spent and how much the illegal immigrant entities would spend on bringing individuals here. So the human smugglings, right? The way they would spend money, what they would charge, they would have to transport them throughout different parts of the country. They would have to hide them in stash houses. That's why you're seeing the amount of stash houses go down now, because they realize all they need to do is continue to charge the same amount because they're going through their territories, have them turn themselves over to Border Patrol, and at the end of the day, the NGOs and our government will take care of the transport. You see these individuals in the airports. There's so many individuals that are being transported through different parts of the country. And listen, but again, firsthand, I'm seeing how they're just laughing at our immigration laws. They're laughing at our security. And at the same time, when you look at the documents and you look at the papers, they're going to places like Kentucky, New York, Maryland. They're going all over the United States. They're not just staying in the southern border. They're not just, you know, focusing on one area. They're going everywhere. And they realize that right now during this administration, it is a free pass to do whatever you want. And then on a side note, while agents are processing those individuals, you have gotaways that are coming through that their criminal background is even more horrific because they wouldn't even qualify just to ask for asylum.
Art, what's been incredible to see is the evolution of the border crisis, because it's no longer an issue of, you know, economy or people, you know, illegally coming across the border and stealing access to our nation. It is now an issue of importing crime and terrorism. And we know about the numbers as far as people being lost in the interior of the country, not only special interest aliens, but people who are actually on that terror watch list. Has there been, to your knowledge, any coordination between the federal government, Secretary Mayorkas, your men and women, Border Patrol, as far as locating those people of interest who could perpetrate something that we've seen elsewhere on U.S. soil?
So the people that come through at the point that they get, vetted right away and you can see that they're on the watch list, those individuals are obviously detained. You know, FBI takes over. They would look at their record and figure out what, you know, how to send them back to their country. But yeah, the problem is the gotaways. You don't know who they are. As I said, it's so easy to come in, ask for asylum, get released. Can you just imagine how bad the criminal record is, or the intentions of those that are going that extra mile to try to get away to come inside? And at the same time, If you apprehend a group of, let's say, 50, we'll go low, a group of 50 individuals, They're all from the same village, from the same towns. They've been traveling together for months. They went through Ecuador, through South America, through Central America, through Mexico, months of being together. And then finally, they get apprehended at the southern border. And if out of those 50, two of them are on the terrorist most watch list, it is completely ignorant to believe that the other 48 in the group should not be looked at thoroughly and not be released in the United States.
Yeah, such a good point. On this show last night, the former intelligence chief of the FBI, Kevin Brock, said, listen, there are too many special interest military age men coming into the country right now from areas that we know are sponsors of terrorism. We may not have any other information, but it looks concerted. If I'm an intelligence analyst, I want to know who they are, what's going on. We should be concerned about it. And then a few days before that, the San Diego sector put out a BOLO or be on the lookout for potential Hamas militants looking to cross the border to carry out attacks here. Those two are big red flags. Can you tell us how much concern there is that there may be some form of terror operations going on at the border?
So I've been concerned of it from day one of this administration that, you know, opened up the borders and said, come one, come all, to be honest. And let's be true. Look, these individuals that are coming across, they're not going to come across with a sign. They're not going to come up with a T-shirt that says, hey, I'm here to do you harm. These individuals, you know, they intermingle with the rest of the group. And if they've never come to the United States, if it's their first entry and they've never, you know, they don't have anything on their database that we can check, they're getting released. So concerning, yes, of the groups that are coming, concerning of the countries that they're being apprehended from. But what people should be focusing on and questioning even more so is, why are they getting released? So that's where the concern is, that, hey, if they come, there's nothing through the vetting process that shows that they have any criminal history and they're not on a watch list, they get released in the United States. And that is the concern. And way too many individuals have been released already.
Wow.
Art, I wanted to ask you about some of the measures that states have taken to protect their own borders. And obviously, there's only one state led by a Republican governor that has a physical land border with Mexico. Texas House has approved funding for a border wall for Texas, making it a state crime to enter the state illegally. Success rate on that?
Well, you know, I think it brings, more light to the problem, and it shows that there's individuals that are in leadership position that still care to fix it and still care to do something about it. Unfortunately, I live in a state where right now it leads the country in gotaways. You get continuous entries into here. It's more rigorous terrain. A lot of the agents that are working in the Arizona area, they have to travel almost 2 hours to get to a processing center. But we have leadership here that just turning a blind eye and doing nothing about it. So, you know, I think that's where the problem is. Hats off to Texas, honestly, because, you know, they're taking care of their own citizens there in the state of Texas. But unfortunately, you're going to see a lot of these criminal elements are going to start moving to other areas. And at the end, they still want to bring individuals into the United States, knowing full well that they're going all over the United States and not just staying on border states. And then you look at the budget, you know, where they say, hey, President Biden wanted to bring more people to process. And that's part of the problem. Look, if you just bring more processing centers and you bring more individuals to process, what are you doing? You're just opening up the invitation even more so for people to come into the country illegally.
Folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, Waleed Faris, one of the most cogent voices in the security space. He has a lot to say about Israel, Iran, and of course, our southern border. We'll have that right after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back, America. Our next guest, he's a former national security advisor to many Republican presidential candidates over the year, including former President Donald Trump, and also the author of a must-read book, Iran, an Imperialist Republic in U.S. Policy. He joins us right now, Dr. Waleed Faris. Doctor, good to have you back on.
Thank you for having me. Great to see you both.
We are honored to have you on. You were so prescient in calling out what we're really living in right now. You saw the Israeli conflict and Iran's move towards that. You've also been worried about that southern border and the idea that Hamas, Hezbollah could use it to inflict harm in America. When you see that CPB warning today, what are your thoughts?
Well, I have worse news, actually. Hopefully not. But reality is that Hamas, other jihadists, Hezbollah, the groups linked to the Iran regime, Baathist, have been crossing that border, not just for days or months, for years.
Yeah.
Same way as we have seen this operation taking place between Gaza and Israel. This was not an overnight operation. It has been, you know, organized for months, maybe years. Same goes here in our backyard. Crossing the Rio Grande has been a strategy, and a strategy that is not secret. I remember vividly on Al Jazeera when the head, spiritual head, who now has passed, of the Muslim Brotherhood, actually speaking about the necessity of militants, jihadi militants, to cross into the United States and to become an arm that would change things inside the United States. So this last report only adds to what we analysts have been seeing for a while.
Yeah, that is true. And you've been warning for a while.
Yeah, you have. And Dr. Faris, I know you had tweeted about that U.S. base in Syria. And I think that for the concern for folks like you who are so deeply knowledgeable about this is that, you know, you have these proxy groups all over the region that because of this, you know, we're talking about Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran as the head of the snake. But there are all of these proxy groups across the Middle East that can be activated or are being activated.
Are being activated right now as we speak. I mean, yes, you're right. Yeah. I just posted it a couple of minutes ago. The Iranian militias in Iraq and Syria, controlled by Iran 100%, by the Pasdaran group, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and by the Quds Force. Remember what when we clashed in Syria and Iraq in 2020, and the head of the Quds Force, Soleimani, was eliminated. That's the same network. They are now attacking our bases, hoping that we would withdraw from both eastern Syria, western Iraq, at the time that our task forces are in the eastern Mediterranean. They are on the offensive. So in that same tweet, I suggested, I'm just an outside advisor now, that the Pentagon, the U.S. in general, should shut down the Iraqi-Syrian border. It's just 150 kilometers or maybe 200 kilometers between the last Kurdish point in the north and the first position in Tanf with the Arab-Sunni pro-Americans. All we have to do is to shut down that border so the militias cannot travel from Iran, Iraq into Syria, Lebanon, Hezbollah, and the Golan Heights. But I don't know what these advisors, the Iran advisors at the Pentagon, are recommending. I'm not sure they are recommending that we take action against the people with whom they work with or talk to in the Iran regime. It's very, very disturbing what I see.
Yeah, it is disturbing. So I want to ask a little bit about if we were to go back to 1941 and right after Pearl Harbor, someone suggested to the United States, hey, let's have a ceasefire. Or wait, don't attack Japan. Let's send some humanitarian aid over. We would have said something pretty rude back to them. But that's exactly what's going on now. The Biden administration, yes. Democrats trying to tell Israel not to do what I think the military security best interest of their country is. How silly do we look to the rest of the world with some of this appeasement language we've been giving Israel the last few weeks?
John, I am not surprised. I am interested in how you made that statement, because that's exactly the tenor of a tweet I issued yesterday at night. And I referred to World War II. What was the first action decided by the U.S. government when after Hawaii was attacked? Pearl Harbor. Of course, we were mobilizing to take back the Pacific. The first action was the famous Doolittle raid on Tokyo.
That's
right. It didn't do much. There was a bunch of B-17s who were launched from an aircraft carrier and hit Tokyo. Why? Just to let them know that you can be hit by us. So now Israelis or Americans need to consider probably if these attacks continue, both from Gaza, but certainly in eastern Syria and western Iraq, that Iran must feel must understand that the U.S. and Israel can reach deep inside Iran.
Yeah, very important.
Dr. Farris, I want to dig in on some of that appeasement language that John has spoken about, because when I hear the term two-state solution, a lot of people, I think, have different definitions of it. But to me, at its most fundamental core, it seems like it's just a euphemism for no peace, no recognition of Israel, and no negotiation. Am I wrong? Maybe I'm way off.
My friend, that was for last year. I would have loved to discuss it last year. You know what they are chanting now here in New York, in San Francisco, in London, and elsewhere? From the river to the sea. In the past years, that was a slogan chanted by the far extreme jihadist left, meaning no Israel. The river is the Jordan River and the sea is the Mediterranean. They don't want an Israel to start with. So when they chant at NYU or at Berkeley, from the river to the sea, it means the complete destruction, the dismantlement of the state of Israel. They're way out there at this point in time.
Yeah, it's just stunning to hear it. It is. How did we get this point? We got about a minute left, sir. It seems like over the last decade, there was a concerted effort to influence our young people against Israel and toward Hamas or toward Palestine, toward other enemies of the United States. How did we get there?
John, this is a systematic campaign. I had the luck maybe to be able to observe this. I was a professor since the early 90s after I immigrated here. And already in the 90s, associations of Middle Eastern studies, associations that deals with political science, partially funded by oil producing regimes, including at the time the Baathist and the Muslim Brotherhood, have been funding Middle East studies programs across the United States. And it was generation after generation that this radical view of the Middle East and of international relations has been producing those generations and generations of youth, some of which now are serving in our bureaucracy.
Folks, we're going to come back in a second, right after these commercial break, and have a great conversation with the man who represents those IRS whistleblowers, Tristan Levitt of the Empower Oversight Whistleblower Center, up next.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He serves as the president of the Empower Oversight Whistleblower Center, and he helps represent those two amazing IRS whistleblowers. He's our good friend, Tristan Levitt, and he joins us right now. Tristan, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
There's been some interesting moments. The Brady testimony gets released by House Judiciary Committee, and you find out that Jamie Raskin and the Democrats were giving us a few lies. But I think the bigger story is the very reluctance, resistance, foot-dragging that Gary Shapley and Joseph Ziegler testified to, the Democrats tried to destroy their credibility over. It's now confirmed by a U.S. attorney. The U.S. attorney, Brady from Pittsburgh, said, you're darn right the FBI didn't want to investigate. They were dragging their feet, and so was Delaware U.S. attorney David Weiss's office. How important is it that a federal prosecutor comes out and really vouches for exactly what the IRS whistleblower said?
Well, it's definitely significant. And, you know, we knew that it was only a matter of time until the facts would come out on all of this. And so, you know, unlike some of the other information that the IRS whistleblowers have testified about, where they only had limited insight because it was about the interactions between David Weiss and other, you know, federal prosecutors, other offices. In this instance, this is something that they saw firsthand, the resistance from the FBI, the resistance from Assistant U.S. Attorney Leslie Wolf in Delaware. And so, you know, this is at the heart of their knowledge. And U.S. Attorney Brady definitely backed that up and highlighted how unwilling they were to hear this information about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden.
Tristan, there are waves of information coming out about the entire Biden family conglomerate, all of their business dealings. And every time a new batch of information comes out, there are new refutations like the one that John cited from Jamie Raskin, but also from the Biden administration. And I know that a few weeks ago, there was another batch of information. I think it was 700 pages or so coming from those two IRS whistleblowers to the chair of House Ways and Means, Jason Smith. Phone communications, email communications, other documents and materials. Can you give us just some of the highlights of what was contained within?
Absolutely. So a large number of the new documents came from IRS whistleblower Joseph Ziegler. He did not provide any documents when he first testified before the committee, whereas our client, Gary Shapley, did. So Ziegler's documents include a whole tranche on the underlying financial issues in Hunter Biden's case. That highlight why the Ukraine Burisma income was so significant in those 2014, 2015 years. There's a whole other section that highlights, you know, things like Hunter Biden writing to Chinese executives about being able to receive, you know, millions of dollars just for introductions alone. And emails like that, Ziegler's affidavit makes clear were what alarmed investigators, because it was clear that there was no good, there's no value being brought here. This was just pure and simple payments for, you know, getting him to the right to, for, you know, for influence. These were influence payments. Also included in there were some of this initial documentation about Leslie Wolf being forced by the principal deputy attorney general's office to take this briefing on the 1023 with the Biden bribery allegations. And Gary Shapley's affidavit discussed that and talked about the significance of them being unwilling to receive this, because, of course, even after being briefed on these bribery allegations, it's just 6 weeks later that Leslie Wolf is telling investigators they can't ask about, you know, the big guy or 10 held by H or anything like that, because there's no specific level of criminality to that questioning, no line of criminality. And so it's clear that Leslie Wolf was doing everything she could to run interference on this case for the Bidens. And you know, again, together with the information from U.S. Attorney Brady, it's really disheartening to see how unwilling they were to look at the facts there.
Yeah, it really is. It's also disheartening to think that when the whistleblowers first came out, there were all these storylines about from Democrats and defenders of the Biden saying, oh, these guys aren't credible. They're partisan. Oh, there was no effort to turn down these prosecutions in Washington and L.A., blah, 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 blah. Now you've got two U.S. attorneys in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. confirmed. Yeah, we refuse to partner with David Weiss, just like the IRS whistleblower said. The money checks out. The James Biden interview comes out. It confirms what these agents have said. The danger of what the Democrats did early on, trying to destroy the credibility of these agents, even though the evidence actually was there and now we know it's corroborated, what message does that send to other whistleblowers who might be sitting with information about wrongdoing and considering coming forward? Do they want to get this rubber hose treatment too?
Well, I think there's two things to take away from it. And one of those certainly is that other potential whistleblowers are going to be intimidated, are going to be chilled from coming forward if they see that there's not a willing audience to hear out the allegations, that they're going to be jumped on, they're going to be prejudged before the information facts even come out. So why would anyone, what incentive would they have to come forward with new information? The second thing that I think is important to recognize, though, is that those that have been critics of the IRS whistleblowers keep shifting their ground. They keep moving the goalposts, right? So before it was, how would you know anything about California, about the DC declinations? This is all bunk, right? Well, once that information comes out and it's clear that these U.S. attorneys did decline to partner, it's, well, but they didn't stop U.S. Attorney Weiss from coming. So I think you see this in a lot of these instances where if you go back and read the initial criticisms, it's a whole bunch of this, right? Huge amounts of denial. And then when you get down to it, it's these small grounds that people are arguing on now, but it hasn't changed, you know, the mainstream media's approach still to not take it very seriously. And so I think it's important for those who have been paying attention to keep track of what people said at the outset and say, no, you said before that California and DC, you know, that Weiss never even went to those places. There's no evidence of that, you said before. Now that it's out there, you can't just scale it down to, yeah, but. So I think that's an important thing for future whistleblowers to know, that people are keeping track, people are paying attention, because that's what will encourage them more than anything else.
That's a great point. Excellent point.
Tristan, throughout this entire saga, we've talked about how the action of revoking security clearances has seemed like a tool of punishment by the FBI. And back in May, when you had those three whistleblowers up on Capitol Hill, I think it was Marcus Allen and Steve Friend and then Gloss, who also had their security clearance revoked. I don't remember if that was permanent or not, but what's the status of Marcus Allen's security clearance?
So just recently, I filed an appeal on his security clearance. We had earlier in the spring before this hearing when I testified with them, we'd filed an appeal with the Department of Justice Inspector General, which hears the retaliation cases on security clearances. But the FBI has its own process, so we needed to respond to that and have filed that. They've proposed to revoke his clearance. Right before this hearing, they released information that he'd never even heard of. He'd never had the chance to rebut, and they leaked it to the press. Someone leaked it to the press. And so this document was our first chance to rebut that, to say these allegations are totally misunderstood, this new information, it's not accurate. And so that filing this week, which Empower Oversight released on its website, empoweroversight.org, shows how this move to take his clearance was purely in retaliation for him making a disclosure about FBI Director Chris Wray testifying on the Hill, leaving the impression that there were no FBI informants there on January 6th, when we now know that's clearly inaccurate. There were informants there. There were a lot of them. And in fact, someone testified before the House Judiciary Committee recently that there were so many, the FBI had to do an audit to keep track after the fact of all those who had been there. And so for Marcus Allen to have been, had his clearance stripped of him just for raising this issue is really outrageous.
All right, folks, that wraps up our Sunday edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. A big thank you for Chairman Brian Stile, from Waleed Ferris, Secretary Chad Wolf, Art Del Cueto from the Border Patrol Union, and of course, Tristan Levitt, a man on the front lines of the whistleblowers, highlighting so much wrongdoing in our government. What a great edition. Hope you enjoyed it. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful fall weekend, the last weekend in October 2023. We'll be back Monday with regular programming. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.